It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are sitting here in the studio, as most always, and reflecting on a lot of things that have been going on recently. But one of the things that I always like to pay attention to is it is so nice outside. So whatever you're going to do, I would suggest you do it at 11 o'clock, right after the show is over, and do it outside because, wow, it just doesn't get much better than this. So whatever's on your mind, let us know. And you can do that listening to us because if you want to talk about anything you want to talk about, it's as easy as picking up the phone and dialing 904-222-8255. If you're new to our show and found it by accident or on purpose, matters not to us, try to listen for the whole hour. You'll probably learn a few things. Well, we have a lot of facts and we have a lot of opinions, and they often kind of blend together into some kind of a web that says, you know, we probably worry too much overall. That's the way I look at it. And I think there's a lot of that going on right now. Markets have been a little wild and crazy, as everybody knows. And this week, of course, was no exception. It's hard to look at it from ground level and not understand why people are trepidatious. But it might be even harder to look at it from the 30,000-foot view and say, you know, this is starting to come together a bit. And that's the way I've been feeling the last few days, is this is really starting to come together. So I will be curious if it continues like that. So many things, so many pieces to the puzzle are there in so many areas. And I think they're starting to fit little by little. Of course, it could all blow up in a heartbeat, and that's why it's so volatile out there. Anyway, I'll let Adam go into what happened. We both agreed that this week didn't feel bad, but when you add up the numbers, they didn't look good.
So no.
See what's going on.
They didn't feel good, but it wasn't really as bad as it may have, I guess, first. On the surface, the indexes look terrible. Mm-hmm. However, when you dig a little bit, it actually looks way better, and I'll get to that in a minute. I wanted to talk a little bit about the short and ugly week and why it happened. The big headline was that United Health Group had one of its worst days ever on Thursday. It fell more than 22% after it cut its profit forecast for the year. Now, because the Dow is the worst index ever created, it's price-weighted, and United Health is the priciest stock on that index. So despite it not being the largest stock in the index, it has an outsized effect on how the Dow moves. It was responsible for a 789-point drop in the index that day. If United Health had just been flat, the Dow would have risen 262 points. So,
which is why it's so confusing to look at and feel.
Yep. About $120 billion was erased from United Health's market cap in a single day, and it was blamed on higher costs inside their Medicare Advantage plan. So that was the reason they decreased their profit forecast, and this was loosely tied to seniors who had been putting off major procedures since COVID, kind of rushing back in to get all this stuff taken care of. So I don't know how true that is. It seems a bit far-fetched because we're 5 years removed from COVID, but maybe, I guess. But regardless, these Medicare Advantage plans have been – people have been leaving that market because they don't – it's not a great business. The reimbursement rates from the government are pretty low. And they're not very profitable, and that is combined with higher costs associated with administering them. So they're getting squeezed on both sides. United Health has apparently quite a large exposure to this, but there are other companies that have almost no exposure. I think Cigna is one of them, and they were actually trading up on the day. So, but the other ones that offer Medicare Advantage plans all went down, not quite 22%, but they all traded a bit lower. So Medicare Advantage, not a great business, apparently.
Well, there's a segment of our society out there that really doesn't want them to thrive and survive. They want everything to go into Medicare itself, and you know the reason why as well as anybody if you think about it. The more control they have over you, the better.
I guess I've never heard really great things about Medicare Advantage plans. They advertise them like crazy, which, you know, things that are really good usually
extra
don't
benefits.
Need that many that much advertising for. But and anecdotally, I've heard some negative things about them. So I honestly, I don't know that much about it, but it it doesn't sound like a great business that I would want to be in at this point in time.
It has its purpose, but I think they are oversold, as you said. If you are, let's say you retired from somewhere and retired somewhere else and you don't have any doctors built in, any of that, then it might be not a bad idea to shop around the Medicare Advantage plans and see what kind of a network they've got and where everything's located. But if you already have a doctor and if you already have other providers that you like and you look at Advantage, even if that doctor's in the network today, that doctor might not be in the network next year. So
hold on.
They have an inherent problem.
I'm not sure that is a call or not, Dad. So is that a phone call? Okay. Yeah, it is. You can pick it up.
All right. Well, let's do that. Good morning, Jim.
Morning.
What's happening?
I've got a question. It's going to sound bad, but I'm going to say it anyway.
All right.
I need help in hiding money.
I have two socks in my closet that are empty.
All right, so my mom is 91 years old, good health, but at 91, you know, she could have a stroke and need to go to the nursing home tomorrow. Mm-hmm. She's inherited some money, some still coming in. Probably it'll end up in the neighborhood of $450,000 that she doesn't need and doesn't want.
Okay.
She wants to be able to give it to her kids. But as I understand, there's like a 5-year look back if for Medicare. So trying to figure out, you know, what she can do with the money to protect it as she sees fit.
Has she already taken the inheritance?
I'm sorry.
Has she already received the inheritance, or is it something that's coming up in the near future? Are you there?
I think the music's interfering.
I can hardly hear you. All I hear is the music.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold till after the break. If you can wait, and we'll pick it up right after.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you.
All right. This is a great question. I really like this one.
It is a great one.
Yeah.
And it has to do with the difference between Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah.
Like yep. So I think Jim will be happy with the answer when we get there.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Seriously. What's left? We've probably got about 20 seconds, I think. Okay. Then I remind everybody that we will have a trivia question, which I'll pose right before we get Jim back on the line after our first short break where we pay some bills for the station. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Yeah, I remind everybody, lines are open, 904-222-8255. And we will get to Jim in just a moment after I introduce our trivia question. Brought to you, as usual, by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888. And today we have a little unusual situation. If anybody gets this right, you have the choice between our regular gift, which is Publix.
I believe it's Publix, yeah.
And if you would rather, you can get the fare tax books from Neil Bortz and John Linder, who were donated to us by our friendly listener. We thank her very much. So whoever wins, if anybody, will offer either or. And if nobody gets this week's, we'll offer it again next week until they're gone. All right, here we go. We're talking about parents and children suddenly for the last couple of minutes on the first part. And strangely enough, that's where my question comes from today. What percentage of parents say they would be comfortable including their teenage children in meetings with their own financial advisor? What percentage of parents said that they would like to have the kids in the meetings with their financial advisor? Whole number between 1 and 100, so pretty easy. All right, let's get right back to Jim. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you.
All right. There's several contemplated things going on here. Adam just went through them all. I'm going to let him rattle it off, and I'll punctuate where it's needed. But first, I want to give a little disclaimer. Some of this is getting right up to legal stuff, and you can't take anything we say. We're not lawyers. You can take it so that you know things, but before you would do anything, I would advise you to get hold of an elder law attorney. Does she live? Does your mom live in Florida?
Indiana.
Okay, so get a Florida licensed elder law attorney before you actually do anything. Meanwhile, I'll let Adam just walk you through the process.
Actually, an Indiana licensed elder law attorney where she lives.
Oh, I thought I said yeah, Florida.
No.
Okay, but then you'd have to find one up there. It's very important.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry about that. My mistake.
Okay, so first question is, has this inheritance already taken place? Is she in possession of the money?
Adam, I can hardly hear you.
Gosh, is there... I'm going to have our producer work on that. Let me know if it gets any better.
You're better now.
Okay, great.
Good.
Okay, so has she inherited the money already? Does she have possession of the money, or is this something that is going to happen in the near future?
In the near future, it's coming in from different sources.
Give your radio on.
More coming.
Is your radio on?
Sorry?
Is your radio on?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That, there you much go. Better.
Yeah, much better. Okay, great. I think we got all the audio cleared up.
Yeah.
So it's coming in from multiple sources, you said.
Yes, life insurance, investments.
Okay.
So part of it's come in.
Okay.
There's more yet to come.
And was she a named beneficiary on someone else's A, life insurance, and B, financial accounts? So is it like
yes.
an okay? Do you know who she would have been the primary beneficiary, I assume. So do you know who the secondary would have been on those accounts?
My sister had passed, and she set up various accounts to be split equally between myself, my brother, two other sisters, and mom.
Ah, okay. So this was someone in your family that had that passed away and left this to part of it to your mom.
Correct.
Okay. So one option that you could consider, and again, I would strongly encourage that you talk to an elder law attorney about this, but if your mother disclaimed the inheritance, there is a possibility that it would just be distributed to the other people named on her beneficiary list.
When did the death occur of the person?
July of 24.
Was close. My recollection, don't quote me on this, my recollection was you've got 9 months to disclaim it. That'd be right now.
Yeah, so I would check into that immediately on Monday.
Yeah, Monday morning.
Like that. Because that's the easiest way for her to never take possession of the inheritance is to just... Basically, she says, I don't want it. And then it goes, then it passes to whoever else it was named to be passed to. So, again, I strongly encourage you to talk to a lawyer about that one, though, before you pull the trigger on anything. But that would be the easiest. But let's say that's not on the table and she has to take the inheritance. In her situation now, is she in a nursing home?
Oh, no, she's still driving and all that. She just
oh,
can't hear
good for her.
But you know, she's in good health. But at her age, anything could happen.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And is she? What is her overall wealth situation? Does she have an income? Does she have some money?
She's got Social Security, and I think with what she's inherited so far and the savings she had, probably around $260,000.
Okay.
And she's got a couple hundred thousand more to come.
Okay. So she's not destitute. So the real problem there is if she eventually needed to go into a Medicaid nursing home, is that something that you anticipate happening?
Well, like again, at her age, anything could happen, right?
Right. Absolutely. But it, would she go immediately into there's different levels of nursing homes, and they all cost different amounts. And Medicaid is for people without any assets, so or very little assets and income. So I'm just wondering if she could go into a regular home while she spent down her own assets, or if it would be a situation where she would immediately be looking at the Medicaid. And it doesn't sound like that's the case.
No, and that's what I think she wants to avoid, you know, spending the money that she would rather her kids have.
Yeah.
on her stay at a nursing home.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a kind of a moral, ethical question.
You betcha it is, but you know,
that's her wishes. So I understand that many people feel the same. The government has set up a pretty tricky system,
yes,
to avoid that kind of situation where there's a 5-year look back.
that's why I'm calling you guys.
That's why the disclaiming strategy is the best, because then the money would never be hers, and you can't they can't look back on that. But if she takes the money and then starts a gifting type situation to the other kids, then I believe that the look back would be applicable. And I believe it lasts for 5 years. So if she stayed as healthy as she is until age 96, you guys would all be fine. The problem is that you just don't know what could happen. So this is actually an ideal situation to talk to an elder care attorney and find out what the best strategy is. But it is tricky because the government really doesn't want her to do what she wants to do.
Have you ever heard your mother say something that goes like this? I just don't want to ever be a burden on anybody.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, well, we all say it at some age. I'm of age that I think it's come out of my mouth more than once. If she wants to pay her own freight, then she should keep her inheritance and pay her own freight until she passes away. If she were to take the other route and try to get on Medicaid, this is where I get a little uncomfortable with it, because she's burdening society that way rather than her family. And of course,
that is, like you said, that is a bit of an ethical question. Mm-hmm. And then you see everything that DOGE is dragging up, and you feel like, geez Louise, why didn't I get mine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's one more thing, too. I told my kids 20 years ago, if you ever see them carry me into a Medicaid-approved nursing home, shoot me before the front door is opened. Now, that's no longer true.
I don't think, I've heard
there are very
several
good
stories
now
about being decent.
It used to be the pits, and the pits of despair, but not so much anymore. I've checked it out with several elder care attorneys and that sort of thing, and they're okay. They're fine if you get the right one. Of course, you got to shop like anything. But you still have that part about laying off your own expenses to the society. It's a combination. They're state-run, but the federal government grants the money to run it with, or some of it. So you are actually taking an individual problem that doesn't exist and putting it onto a society that's already overburdened. That's why I would keep the money and pay my bills if I were her.
The other thing is, if she inherits $450,000, you add that to the $200,000 or so, she's got $650,000. And the average stay in a nursing home is less than 3 years for women, I believe.
Yep.
And so even at $8,000 a month,
$100,000 a year,
you're not really, you're going to draw down the assets, but it's not going to deplete them fully. And so you might have a better experience overall in a home that you pay for. So I think that's worth considering as well.
Have you powwowed with your siblings to see how they feel?
Not in that regard, no.
I think the first thing I do is call a little meeting and discuss it, just for the heck of it.
Let me add one little twist and see what you guys think.
Do.
So my sister was a resident of Maryland. Mom lives in Indiana.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out whether I should be talking to an elder care attorney out of Maryland
maybe.
Or Indiana.
Yeah, probably Maryland then, because that's where the deceased lived. Yeah,
Jim, we've got to go again. Can I put you on hold one more time? We got one more piece of business to wrap up. I'd like to do it right after the break.
Sure.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
What a great call.
It is, and we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
I'll remind everybody, lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question, what percentage of parents would like to involve their children in meetings with their parents' financial planner? It's between 1 and 100. And now we'll get right back to Jim. Thank you again for waiting.
Sure.
All right, Adam, why don't you've been kind of guiding this whole thing through, and I think you came to a pretty logical conclusion. And then we'll ask if you want to take a shot at the trivia, but let's wrap this up first.
So just something to think about, Jim. If she inherited that $450,000 and added it to her current savings, she'd have somewhere in the neighborhood of just over $650,000. If you invest that conservatively at 4% over the next few years, she lives a few years before needing nursing, skilled nursing of any kind, you might have $700,000. So even if she then withdrew $100,000 a year for 3 years and spent that down, you're still going to end up with about that $400,000 to $450,000, which is exactly the amount of inheritance that would then go to her heirs. So I think just from a financial perspective, it really might be a wash to for her to inherit the money and then invest it and use it for her own care in later on, whenever her body starts to go, which doesn't sound like it'll be anytime soon because she's driving at 91.
She sounds remarkable.
I'm going to ask one other question that might be relevant to a lot of folks.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as gifting money and avoiding taxes, you could tell me it's probably close to $19,000 for this year.
That's right. It's 19. Yep.
I had one financial advisor tell me that that's only half true, that there's actually an IRS form that you could sign that say if she wanted to give $50,000 to my sister in one single year, that says that goes towards the lifetime cap of, I think it's $3 million.
He's exactly
still
right.
Avoid the tax.
It's exactly right. It's a form. It's called a gift tax return. It's just a couple of pages, and I think it's called a 7604 or something like that.
Something like that.
And yeah, you can do it. And the lifetime maximum he's talking about right now is at about $13 million. So you're not going to use it up. But yeah, any amount, any time to any person, but anything that's over $19,000 to an individual in a calendar year, you have to file a gift tax return.
Yeah.
But that's all there is to it.
So she could write a check for the whole amount. The problem that I see there is that it may be subject to the look back. So you have to check on that.
And even though that might
be
an obscure thing.
I'm sure there's a lot of folks in the situation where they want to help their kid out.
Yep.
And
they're
trying to use $40,000, $50,000 at once, but they're trying to avoid that $19,000 cap.
Yep.
So if I understand what you guys and this gentleman were telling me, that filing that form, you can, let's say it's $50,000, you can avoid the tax on that excess over $19,000.
Oh yeah, yep. For sure. And if your kid is married, you can write a $19,000 check to them and a $19,000 check to their spouse, effectively giving them $38,000. And if you're married,
no gift tax return on that one, no reporting whatsoever on that one.
And if you're married, your spouse can also do the same thing to each. So then you double that $38,000, all without even filing a single form with the IRS.
Right.
Yeah.
And I assume the same to minors.
I think that is applicable to any person.
Any real person could give any other real person. And the only reason they use those terms is you can't do it for a trust or an LLC or anything like that. But any real person can gift any other real person $19,000 annually, no reporting, no taxes.
Yep.
So, all righty.
Easy. All right.
But like I said, if you get back to the... Go ahead.
You're in, your empty box in the closet where you want the money to go to is not real perfect.
Yeah, I'll email me after the show and I'll tell you the address. Oh, this is a wonderful call. This is a practical necessity among a lot of people because a lot of parents are living older and older and older, and these things have to be dealt with.
Hopefully, we will too.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, plan first and then execute. But I do go back one more time, that moral thing. I think all the siblings ought to get together and say, look, what's more important to you? Do you want more of mom's money or do you want her to be able to pay her bills? I'll tell you something. You got another minute?
Sure.
I had this happen, and it was a much different. It was a similar, much different. My mother never really had a time when she wasn't at least concerned about money. She was okay, but not great. I had a sister who, she got terribly ill really young. She died at 63. And I was doing the financial planning for both of them. And I think I shocked my sister when I said, I think you should leave it all to mom, for the simple reason that mom doesn't want to be a burden on anyone ever. And she has never been in a position where she was actually able to say, I'm not worried about money anymore, ever. So we did that. Cost me a lot in taxes when my mother died, and I inherited some. I had to pay a lot of taxes I wouldn't have had to pay. But I went into that with reasons that were much more my conscience than they were about taxes. It's just a quick little aside. Just so you know the consequences one way or the other.
Right, right.
Before we go, do you want to take a shot at the trivia question, by the way? A number between 1 and 100.
You can shot in the dark. I'm going to say 75%.
You know what? That wasn't even close. It was deadly accurate. It's 75%. Now, I always have a point. If you're a regular listener, you know I always have a point with my trivia question. My point here, if you listen to that question very carefully, it says parents would like to take their children to meet with their financial advisor. So what we have here is a group of people who are wise enough to already have a financial advisor, and they want their kids to do the same.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. Well, that was fabulous. Nice guess. I'm going to put you on hold, and Roger will get your address. Well, wait, you got a choice to make. Would you prefer a Publix gift card or the Fairtax books?
I've already got the Fairtax books, so I guess
I knew there was something about you we liked.
I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
Good, thank
you. Back when you were on Hank's show.
So. Wow, good for you. Thank you. I appreciate that very much, more than you'll ever know. All right, we'll get your stuff and have it out to you. Have we covered everything you wanted to know?
I think so. I wasn't sure if, I finally dawned on me that maybe she could refuse in inheriting mm-hmm. some of what she's got coming, but I didn't even know if that was possible and mm-hmm. hadn't contacted an attorney about it. But
I think it's worth the few hundred bucks for an hour consultation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, to find out.
Yeah.
All right, I'll put you on hold. Thanks for the call.
Alrighty.
Have a great Easter.
Thank you.
That's fun to hear.
Yeah,
long time listener.
That is old school, listening to you back in the old days.
No kidding. We've been doing this one for 11.
I know.
And that goes back. I started on the other show. First time I ever spoke on a radio, it was June 28th, 2002. I remember that so well because it was my birthday.
Yeah, there you go.
How about that? All right, well, that was interesting. The trivia question went already. You know, if you're going to take a shot in the dark, you might as well take a good one, right?
Definitely.
All right.
Well, good deal. I had just talked about United Healthcare, and so I wanted to talk about NVIDIA, who also had a bad week. Mm-hmm. But this one made more sense. Well, United Healthcare made sense. This one, I think, is actually a good thing. So why is NVIDIA stock going down a good thing? The reason is that NVIDIA was banned by the federal government from selling their chips to China. Now, there's more to the story. They had already been banned on the high-level chips, and the Biden administration actually did this, and I thought it was a good move because you don't want China outpacing us in AI development. But they set it at a certain limit. So what NVIDIA did was then they built a lower level chip that met the threshold to be exported. What any company would do. Right. If you set the level here and they went just under it and they sold those to China. Sure. Well, then Biden's administration outlawed those chips from being sent to China. So they came up with another chip that was just under that. And that's the one that Trump just banned from being sold overseas. And so that's going to be a $5.5 billion hit to their first quarter earnings. Now, last year, NVIDIA had revenue of $130.5 billion, and this year is going to be substantially higher. So you got to put it in perspective. It's a big hit, but it's also on a huge company's huge revenue. So, but it is a material impact to their bottom line, for sure.
Want to hear a little NVIDIA trivia?
Sure.
You know how hot it's been. One of the best performers in the last many years. It experienced a decline of 90% in October of 2002. It also experienced an 85% decline in October of 2008. And it experienced a 66% decline in October of 2022. And it's still been one of the best performers. Now, that's a pretty powerful stock, I would say, right?
No doubt about it.
Yeah, I've got an old saying for everything, basically, but the one that comes to mind here is that good things happen to bad stocks and bad things happen to good stocks, which is why we're not stock pickers. But in this case, the bad things that happened to a good stock went away.
The UF, there is a building that is an AI development, and it was built for $70 million. $25 million of that was from a UF alumni who was a co-founder of NVIDIA.
No kidding.
So I think that despite all that, they're doing just fine.
I think they will continue to thrive. In fact, if you look at all the commitments Trump has been raking in for plants and chips and all that stuff, we're getting rid of one of the biggest problems facing our country right now. That being our dependence on foreign countries for so many important things. And that ultimately is a good thing. One more quick break. Can't believe how fast it's going, but we'll be right back. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And we have some just cleanup work to do on what's going on in the country and that kind of thing. I always like to find a few little highlights and lowlights. One thing that's coming up, and I think it's going to sneak up on more people that don't realize it, on May 7th, the Real ID law is going to take effect in most places. Now, I've got a big lengthy explanation about why it's not going to be everybody, it's not going to be everywhere. But if you are planning to get on an airplane May 7th or after, forever, basically, pull out your driver's license and see if you got a little star up in the upper right corner on it. That shows that it's a real ID. And if you don't have one, make an appointment at the local driver's license office and get in there and get it changed. It'll give you, if go online, it'll tell you all the paper you have to take with you. Those departments are very backed up right now because the Real ID law is coming into focus real quickly. This is the 19th of April. That's the 7th of May. The clock is ticking, everybody.
And this is, if you've been in an airport in the last 3 years, you've seen every time you get in line to go through security, they have these announcements. So this has been planned for a long time. Yep. So
there's an awful lot of people that don't know anything about it. Reading some stats on that.
It is. But it really has been a long rollout. So anyways, go and get that taken care of.
Yes, do. All right.
I want to talk real quick about the week, because the Dow and the Nasdaq were down about 2.6%. The S&P was down about 1.5%. But what's crazy is that under the surface, there was actually a ton of good news.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Small and mid-cap indexes were up by just under 1%. The S&P equal weight was also up by 0.4%. The inside the S&P, there were more winners than losers. More sectors were up, but the problem was technology and consumer discretionary were the two that were down over 2%, and tech is such an outsized portion of the S&P that it's going to bring it down. But if you own, again, if you own the Equal 8, you were up this week. Commodities were up. Oil was up. Gold, silver, both up. Fixed income was up by about 1%. International had a great week. It was up 2.4%. Emerging markets were a little weaker than that because China was down. But almost every other country in the world that I looked at was up for the week. Mexico was up 8%, and European markets about 2 to 4%. So just really crazy. Large mega cap stocks were down, and that's what brought the indexes down. But everything else had a pretty good week.
Yeah. So if you look at your account and you're pleasantly surprised, it's because you're not heavy weighted in the megas.
Yeah, exactly.
And good.
And also the retail sales, 1.4%.
Yes, huge.
One of the biggest numbers we've seen in a long
Pumped
time.
A little bit by car buying because they the want pre-tariff, to get through before the tariffs. But still, whatever reason, if you've been thinking about buying, maybe waiting for lower interest rates, tariffs outweigh interest rates, apparently. For a lot of people.
Bars and restaurants were the second biggest gainer in that report, outside of autos. Well,
you know, let's see. It's a week that included April 15th. Think that makes sense?
I do. Maybe.
Speaking of April 15th, congratulations, everybody who has a job. Guess who you're working for now? Yourself. Tax Freedom Day came on April 9th.
I was going to say, did it actually fall on tax day? That would be
it was crazy. Close. Yeah. But it was April 9th. We got a little head start. It used to be after that, but the TCJA tax cuts brought it back before that. So Tax Freedom Day, you're working for yourself, finally. All right. Now, for those of you living in New York City, things are a little bit different. Guess what they're going to do for you? They're going to start digging through your trash.
What?
You look a little quizzical.
I'm confused.
This was published on April 1. It is not an April Fool's joke. They are looking for food scraps, yard waste, leaves, coffee grounds, paper towels, so on and so forth, because they say that you are not recycling properly and you're contributing to the rat infestation. So they're going to start going through your garbage cans randomly and finding people who aren't doing it right. Isn't that special? $50 for the first offense, $100 for the second, $200 for the third and subsequent offenses until you all learn to throw your garbage away the right way.
Okay.
Enough said.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 6 reasons to consider switching your financial advisor. This caught my eye the other day because of my erudite research department, my wife, in other words. She said, you got to look at this. So I did. And I thought I'd respond to the 6 points and tell you what Strivus Wealth Partners does for these situations. And I think you'll see why we have a better way than a lot of them do. One of them, number one, you might be missing out on advanced investment opportunities. Would that be alternatives? It says sophisticated portfolio strategies, probably crypto. And those are not things that I think the average person really needs to get involved with.
No. Definitely not.
So if you part of this one is if your advisor has not spoken to you about how to lower your tax liability, you might be thinking somebody else. Well, we not only do that, we're good at it, and we have some of the greatest software in the history of mankind. We are constantly concerned about taxes and maximizing for our clients. And that's something that if you have a problem with whoever you're dealing with now, you might want to consider. Number two, you're paying higher fees without paying higher value or without getting higher values. And a couple of the things that they say that add on – I'll get back into this one a little bit. The things that you might not realize you're paying include commissions and transaction fees. So if you're dealing with someone who does not disclose to you the exact nature of their compensation, then you should be looking at people like us. We are fee only. You're not allowed to say fee only unless you are fee only. No commissions, no transaction fees. We don't sell anything. So if you are subject to that kind of thing, you might give us a call also. Your financial plan feels generic. Well, a lot of them are. There's a lot of firms out there that plug you into a category, and that category could be moderate or whatever. They're strictly here, it seems to me from reading the article, talking about how you invest. We have two components of that. We have one component that is how you invest, which, in fact, Adam's in the process right now of implementing some updated paperwork on the investment philosophy. They're individualized by client, and that is a good thing. And let's see, direct indexing, we were just talking about that on the break. That's a concept that for the right people, generally very wealthy people, is good. I wouldn't want to get into it on a small scale ever. Individually held equities, for the right people, yeah. But my philosophy is picking individual stocks is not a good idea.
You don't need them.
There's no
reason that should set an investment philosophy apart.
Exactly. In fact, about 20 years ago, I wrote a piece for a magazine, and the opening line, and this is one I've used many times, it says, picking individual stocks is a colossal waste of time.
That's true.
And that's how I feel today, 20 years later. You rarely hear from your advisor. Do you have someone who talks to you when you call them or contacts you zero or one time a year? Well, we don't do that. We'll talk to you every time you call us, but we schedule we send out postcards and say schedule four times a year a meeting with us just to make sure we keep in touch. People don't come to all of them. Some people don't. Some do. I could name names that would never miss one. But we're in constant contact with our clientele, so we're not guilty about that one. Holistic wealth optimization. That's a long way to say something, isn't it?
What? I don't even know what that is.
Well, what they're saying is that you should work with your clients, other professionals like tax accountants, attorneys, and all that, wealth planning, financial planning, estate planning. It's what we do.
Yeah, I've never heard it referred to as holistic.
No, I haven't either. That's kind of a hippy-dippy thing, I guess.
Sounds like a corporate way of saying something.
If you're not satisfied with what you're getting now from a financial advisor, you should take a look. 904-685-1505 or Strivus, Strivus Wealth.com. And you can get right to us. We'll schedule a free appointment to talk to you. And I think you, for the most part, will like what you hear, because all of these reasons that people get irritated, none of them really apply to our practice. That's a good thing. All right. Any other little 15-second things you want to? I thought I had one more. Oh, yeah. The North Carolina Supreme Court has an election that was won by 700-some points, supposedly. They have identified about 65,000 ballots that are not cured, as they say. And the courts are fighting it. The courts are fighting each other. I'll keep you posted on this one. It's a biggie. Thanks for listening. We'll see.